Blog Talk Radio.
The man's voice. We're so privileged to have you listening to us today. There's several of you out there. I see it, the numbers are piling up, and we're glad you're listening, but we also like you to call in. My name is David Shorter, and with the other gentlemen on the table, we have introduced different times, and I think that it would be good for them to, when they get ready to speak, they're going to start telling you who they are. But you can also call in and join the show, tell us what you're thinking about, or talk about something we're talking about by just calling the 646-668-8740. So once again, we love it when people call in and talk to us. So once again, the number is 646-668-8740. You can also go to Facebook and pull up The Man's Voice, and it will help you dial in also. I want to say hello to the gentleman that's on the panel. Most of them are here. Hello, guys. How are you doing?
Hi, David.
Good.
Doing well.
How's everybody doing?
Well.
Doing fine, guys.
That was good. What I want to do this week, sometime I come in and I come up with what's going on, but I want to let the panelists, because I think we have more people talk to me about the show, saying that when the panel talks about it, they always bring up the things that people are thinking about. Sometimes people will tell me to ask the different questions, and I had a couple of those, but I want to go out to the panelists, and the way I like to do it is go by who called in first and go down the line. But I'm also telling the panel that we did one time where they actually emceed the show, each one every week, and I'm going to do that again starting probably in February, so we'll talk about that later. But let's start off the show with first on the line, I think, was Michael. Michael, do you have something you want to bring to the panel and start talking about?
Yes, I do, David, and thank you for calling on me. And just for those listening, my name is Michael Kimbrew. I'm a filmmaker from Los Angeles, California, and I'm happy to be here on the show. Yeah, David, I wanted to talk to, and I want to start this show by addressing the elephant in the room, which is the Mr. Nichols case, the gentleman in Memphis, Tennessee, who was severely beaten to death by the police officers. I'm pretty sure everyone on this call has seen some portion of that video, and I can't imagine anyone thinks it's anything other than horrific. So with that said, I want to start this, David, with a direct conversation to my friend Bruce, who's on the line, who's from the Midwest. Bruce, I know you always tell me, hey, Michael, you're pretty radical, you're pretty, everything has to be about race. Michael, why do you have that attitude? And you always wanted to pick my brain in that regard to figure out why am I programmed to think that way. Well, to answer your question and to everyone listening, because what you saw in that video that happened to that poor young man, Bruce, and everyone listening, that actually happened to me once in my lifetime when I was a teenager. The police pulled me over and beat the cowboy shit out of me, excuse my French, for no reason while I had handcuffs on, the same way you saw him do that to Mr. Nichols. Now, granted, this was over 20 years. This was many years ago when I was a much younger man, but they didn't have video and things of that nature. So if you think they're doing it now, Bruce, when they have videos, imagine what they were doing 20 years ago. Or for that matter, imagine what they've always done to black men in the black community, ever since Martin Luther King and those guys. So I hope that video answers a lot of people's question, a lot of people's question, yours included, Bruce, as to why so many young black men are so far radical when it comes to the F the police mentality and how we feel about the system. Because what you saw in that video is indicative of what we go through every day as black men in this country, just trying to go in our day-to-day life. We have to be harassed by law enforcement like that. So that's what I want to start to come this show off with, is talking about that horrible videotape we saw. And if it's okay, I would like to hear Bruce respond.
All right, Michael, thanks for setting the stage there. I thought it was horrific. It made my stomach ache. It was ridiculous. It was every bad word you could think of. And I would bring into play, per your discussion, Michael, and have you think about something. This is, in a way, you're right. It's definitely a race issue, but this horrific act in many ways was probably not about race at all. It was about police chief, Davis, said today, and I just saw another interview about her, it was horrific, and it really wasn't race. It was mentality. It was the mindset that police officers and people that interact with police officers can have, some very good, some very bad, and it's got nothing to do with race is in a lot of ways the case. And the illustration of all these five black police officers from the Scorpion Squad, which is a specialty operation, but I guess that's going to be shut down or already has been. It was attitude, because I was thinking, if there was anybody of any other skin color on that group, what would the approach have been? So from the standpoint of this illustrates not that the police are necessarily at fault all the time, but that the attitude and the culture of the way we teach, treat each other and act towards each other is the issue here. And it stems back, Michael, to what do we do to fix that? I'm not doubting for a minute your concern and everything you feel about how you've been treated. Not for a minute. I can't put myself in your shoes. However, we're not going to solve the problem by division. We're going to solve the problem by working together and trying to fix it, whether that be police with people, whether that be white-on-white crime, black-on-black crime, black-on-white, white-on-black, and every other color you can think of. We've got to find a way to change this culture that is now being fostered in the United States in not a good way at all. And I think you'd agree with that, we're not going in the right direction. And the only way we're going to solve that, and then I'll shut up and let anybody else input, is working together in some way, multicultural, multi-race, to solve a problem that spans all those conditions.
All right. Any questions, any answers to that, Michael?
I want to hear from the other guys on the panel, but I just want to say, Bruce, everything you said, it was great, except one thing that you guys always try to gloss over. You keep saying it's not about race. And I heard what that sheriff lady said. She said it takes race off the table. But that's not true. It's absolutely positively 100% about race. Because, yes, there were black police officers, but had that been a white guy passenger in a car, they would have never done that to you, Bruce. You would have never gotten that sort of treatment. So it has everything to do with race. But I want to hear from someone else on the panel, if it's okay,
well,
David.
Okay, wait a minute before you go there.
Hold on, Bruce. Hold on, Bruce. Let's. This is Jeremiah. Let's ask Bruce a good question. Have you seen the video?
Are you asking me, Jeremiah?
Yes, sir.
Or Jeremy? Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've seen it several times. Several times, unfortunately.
Okay. So I think you made an illegitimate statement there, because you said all the officers were not black. I don't know if you saw another officer or two that were not black. Did you see that?
I saw, and everything I've seen in print as well says the five officers that were directly in contact with him were black.
Okay, so now, there's another male officer.
If that's an error, then please correct me.
Okay, there is another male officer that was involved. He was specifically seen watching out. He was playing watch out. In addition, that's through my observance. That's what I believe, based on the characteristics of his body movement, his positioning, him walking back and forth during the ordeal. He came with the baton, laid a few strikes, went back to his watch out position, with the baton again, laid some more strikes, went back to his watch out position. He wanted to make sure no residents, additional police officers that might not behave in that behavior, catch on to what was going on. Right?
Well, then, why isn't he being charged with the other five?
I would say this. One, from my understanding, he was suspended. Because if you watched, I believe, Ben Crump or the mother asked that question, like, what happened to the Caucasian officer that was involved? We have no information pertaining to that. My thing is maybe it was more of departmental policy to use his baton, right? He didn't indulge in the specific activities that the other officers maybe indulge in as far as fist beating or kicking and stuff like that. I'm not exactly sure why he wasn't, fired along or in prison with the other guys. But there's still more, even the EMT guys are under investigation, and he's under investigation as well. And the second thing is I picked up two things from your rebuttal, which was the first. And the second thing I'll bring up is you said that it's not a race issue. I can give you a number of reasons why it could be a race issue. And it's not that, and I'll add to what Michael said, he guaranteed if it was probably you in that vehicle, it might not would have happened. Also, we know, I say it like this too. If it was a black guy that usually get in trouble, if it was a black guy that was a drug dealer, if it was a black guy that was a bad guy, we probably would have never heard about it. But this was a good guy, very scared, didn't understand why he was being pulled over, and that's why I believe he resisted. Because as soon as they blocked him off, you got unmarked. If a kid is not used to that, if you don't live in a quote-unquote hood and you don't see all these unmarked cars and you understand how the police tactfully come against you in a sense while you're driving, you would have been lost. Like, what's going on here? Are these guys police officers or not? Right? Is this a mob? Is this a gang? What's going on? Right? There's only one car with lights on, which is the one that was behind him. Everybody else had no lights on, jumped out, grabbed him by the neck and yanked him out. Right? So if it was a guy, if it was a white guy, a lot of guys didn't feel that, he's not from the hood. His parents might have money. He can afford a lawyer. That's one thing I think when it comes to the black race of being able to afford lawyers to fight against these police departments who have lawyers on payroll. But that's another conversation. I'm extending it too far. But that was just my two things I'd like to say. And yes, I saw the video. It was despicable. Actually, I saw a friend of mine who's a sergeant at a public schools police department here in Miami-Dade County. I happened to see her. I know her. And she said, I just wish I wasn't called police anymore. She said, I'll be security for the next couple of days, a couple of weeks to digest what happened because there is a big shame to the badge right now. There's a big shame to the badge. And I'll let someone else speak.
All right. Don, you were second calling in. Do you have something you would like to bring to the table?
Yeah, thank you very much, David, for calling upon me. I really like what I've heard thus far. Point blank, every adjective that one can say at this time. On all levels, I'm very sad. I'm sad that I had to see something like this, number one. I did see Rodney King, and I remember that, but this multiplies Rodney King in many ways. The black-on-black crime really disturbs me of how the black culture could attack a young 29-year young man in this manner. That bothers me. I know that if they were white, it would be a race riot. It would be turmoil. No question about it. We were able to keep peace at the request of the mother, but if they were white, it would have been terrible. But to see black men attack another black man like that, it bothered me. It bothered me immensely. The police brutality in this country has got to be addressed. We're dealing with a culture. It's not a race situation. It's a culture. It's a culture where the police feel that they have a legal right and a badge of honor to assault, not serve, but assault people that they think that they can take advantage of. And another point I want to bring out is the family members that are on both sides of this situation. Can you imagine what the family members of these officers are saying? Can you imagine what the family members of this young man that was killed are saying? What happened to the love for humanity? What happened to the love for humanity alone? That's what bothers me. How can you have love for one another and treat someone like we saw in that video? I mean, beat people continuously and then stand them up and beat them again. And then the aftercare, waiting 20 minutes to call for help. You know, this is the same area that Martin Luther King Jr. lost his life, right down the street at the Lorraine Motel, the same area that he fought for and lost his life. We have a replay, and it's terrible. And then to hear a young man call for his mama, mama, mama. I mean, and the mother felt that call in her womb 100 feet away from the second beating after he had escaped and made a fool and embarrassed these police officers. They beat him, and the mother was crying. The mother was feeling pain in her body, in her belly, hearing this young man crying out. We got a culture problem. This is a culture problem. I'm gonna just stop right there. I'm going to leave right there and listen to someone else.
All right.
I would just like to support what Don said. He said it in a lot more eloquent, appropriate way than any of us have, and I couldn't agree with him more.
All right. Jeremiah, you are next on the list. Did you want to bring something to the table, or do you want to embellish the conversation we have?
Nothing new at this point. I'll like to, you can continue down the line and we'll come back to me some other time.
All right. Once again, you're listening to The Man's Voice. You can call in and join this conversation at 646-668-8740. All right. Soel, you're next in the line. Do you have something you want to bring to the table or something you want to talk about on this subject?
Well, I would like to hear what people have been going through in terms of their financial situation. Recently, whenever I go online, I see like memes about eggs being like the equivalent of trafficking drugs and stuff of that nature. There's a national shortage of groceries and all the other various things that come with basic expenses and living. People are saying that by 2035, there's going to be a shortage in the Social Security fund because there's not enough people working and people getting jobs or enough high-paying jobs to sustain a lifestyle in the United States. So So what do you think, what is your opinion of, like, the current state of the country, and what do you think things will be like in, like, 2030 or 2040?
Anyone want to take that on?
I'd be glad to.
Sure.
What you expressed as a concern of all of ours. And in the age group I'm at, in the Social Security and Medicare field now, one aspect that you made me think of as you were discussing is the cookie jar that has been constantly filled over the years by all of us, not just the elderly now that are collecting from that cookie jar, but all of us. Has been filled with part of the money that we earn every single year, and it's been dipped into so many ways on the basis of we will borrow and we will pay it back, and it's never paid back. So it's kind of the tide is turning, as you pointed out, Sewell, that the cookie jar isn't being filled near as fast and as much as it used to, and the supply is starting to be less than the demand. And the demand is overtaking things. And it's kind of almost ironic that they're willing to fund things way and above our debt service for everything. They're going to eventually have to either, like you said, either cut back on benefits or fill that cookie jar with appropriation money from other means. And who knows where that's going to be, because the one steady flow of income over the years, which we've drawn from for a lot of legitimate and illegitimate reasons and never paying it back, is that fund for Social Security. So you made me think of that when you asked. And I'm struggling with costs just like all of us, that I buy what I need and not what I want.
All right.
Sewell, I'd like to respond to what Sewell just brought up. We're going to go through within the next 5 to 10 years a change in employment. The jobs that are currently available now will not be available in 10 years. It's going to be a digital situation where digital platforms have eliminated a lot of jobs, and the manpower is going to be eliminated. It's going to be a tremendous turn in customer service. Jobs are going to be lost like never before. The whole system is going to change. And I would hate to say what jobs would be available 10 years from now, because it's going to be a drastic change. I'm like you, Bruce, I'm concerned. Social Security, I paid in all my life. And here they are going to be meeting on the debt ceiling. And if they even talk about touching that pool of money.
That's right.
I'm going to be very upset, and I know you are as well. And people,
you're already
like
up
you and I.
Yeah.
Pardon?
You're already upset, and so am I.
I'm upset for even the thought of even touching it like you are. And the thing is, if they even touch it or make a move for it, man, every politician that mutters that word is going to be out of there. You can bank on that.
All right. Anyone else want to jump in this conversation? All right. Once again, you're listening to The Man's Voice. Call us and talk with us, 646-668-8740. All right. So let's go back down the line. Darius, what are your thoughts on the subject that we talked about, or do you have something you would like to bring to the table?
Yes, guys. This is Darius from Atlanta, entrepreneur. This is calling because, I wanted to comment on what you guys are talking about the Social Security thing. It's amazing to me, and I just hate to hate to bring this up, and I don't want to be partisan, but any Democrat who's upset about Social Security really should take a strong, hard look in the mirror, because any time a proposal has been made to restructure Social Security, the Democrats have went out there and demagogued and told everybody in the world that, oh, the Republicans want to put it in a risky investment fund. They want to take your money. They want to use your money and risk your into the stock market or whatever. If you have willfully voted for politicians to give your money, your hard-earned money, to politicians or to Washington, D.C., because you thought somehow they could manage your money better than you could or better than an investment banker, then you, I'm sorry, have been deceived. And I don't want to use the word fool, but most people who believe that the government will be responsible for handling their hard-earned funds are fools. So the reason we're in the situation we're in now is because the government is not fiscally responsible. News nugget, I know this is shocking everybody right now. They're not fiscally responsible, never have been, never will be. Don, my friend, there is no pot. You say touch the pool of money. There is no pool of money. There is no fund sitting there. They're taking Robin from Peter to pay Paul. So if you think that your money is in an account somewhere, call up the Social Security office, give them your account number, and ask them how much money is in your Social Security account. You'll find that there is nothing there. But if you had invested that money in an interest-bearing account, then everybody would have money, and it would be secure. But any time we trust in the federal government to handle anything like that for us, we will always come out on the losing end.
All right. Anybody have any comments on that?
I have a quick comment.
Sure.
So I learned this in school, how Social Security was implemented like in the 30s, part of the Great Depression and the crash of the 1929. The average Social Security recipient has to be 62 to get it, but at the time, the average working adult in the United States didn't even live to 59. So literally, there was a surplus of Social Security for so many years because so many people died before they could get it.
All right. Anybody have any comments on that one? Okay. Bruce, you are next. Did you have something you want to bring to the table?
I do, David. Thanks for asking. Along the lines of what we started with Michael laying out his concerns, since most of my brethren on this board are black or what they want to call minorities, other than and my group, Caucasian is becoming a minority as well. So I'll be joining you soon. But in all seriousness, gentlemen that are black, I'd like a quick, direct opinion from you of what Black History Month means to you, which is coming up in 2 days.
I'd like to take that question, Bruce, and that's
okay.
Right along the lines of what I was going to bring up. Here in the state of Florida, we have a governor that has outlawed and banned Black history being taught in the school system.
Whew.
I have to take a deep breath.
All Black history?
No.
Yes.
It's
not
BRT.
All. Not all.
Queer studies.
Not all.
Not all Black.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave you room to explain what that means, Darius. However,
I will.
I had the opportunity to have Black history taught in my high school, in a Catholic school. It was awesome. It gave me an opportunity to learn about Black history, Bruce. And we have a long history of Black history. It didn't just begin at the Civil War. It began with kings and queens from Africa, from the mother country, way before the Civil distress and also the Civil War. And now we've got a situation where people are twisting it and adding different things to it, like gay rights mixed with Black history. That has nothing to do with Black history. Let's talk about the great accomplishments of people of color. And now we're in a battle in the state of Florida discussing Black history because of gay rights. Darius, you want the mic on this one?
Thank you, Don. I appreciate that, man. And you know what? I agree with you 100%, brother. And I know I don't say that very often. But you and Ron DeSantis are saying the same thing. I don't know if you realize that or not. He doesn't have a problem with Black history being taught. And what the liberals have done is they have marginalized it and tried to make it look like this man is against African-American studies, because that's how they disguise the course. They call the course African-American AP Studies, or African-American Studies is the AP course. And what they fail to tell you is that queer studies is in that, transgender studies is included in that, intersectionality is included in that. And like Don said, these things have absolutely nothing at all to do with the contributions of Black people in this country. But with Black History Month coming up, Bruce, I've never been a big fan of Black History Month. I just think that the history of Black people and their contributions to America should be taught in regular American history courses year-round. I don't think certain months for Black history or Native American history or, you know, Hispanics. I don't think it should be separate months, man. We're Americans, and if you are an American and your story is worth being told and help to shape this great country of ours, then it should be included in American history all months of the year.
And if I may weigh in on that real quick, Bruce, I'm going to agree with my brother Don and my brother Darius. I've never liked Black History Month, the month of February. First of all, it's the shortest month of the year. I mean, just start with that. That's such a slap in the face. We're going to give you guys the shortest month of the year. Secondly, okay. Black History Month has always been, and to piggyback off the Ron DeSantis thing, Ron DeSantis and what Black History is, what they want us to learn the Black history that they want us to learn, they being the Caucasian man. Meaning they want us to learn about Martin Luther King and his I Have a Dream speech. When I was growing up, I thought that's all Martin Luther King was about, was the I Have a Dream speech. Turns out that I Have a Dream speech was in 1963. He was assassinated in 1968. By 1968, he wasn't on that I Have a Dream mentality anymore. He was far more radical when he died in 1968. He was pushing for sovereignty and reparations. That's why he was assassinated. But the white man wrote the history and made me think, oh, he was just all about have a dream and let's come together, when he was not about that when he died. The white man doesn't want us to learn about W.E.B. Du Bois and James Baldwin and Langston Hughes. They want us to learn about the Black history they want us to learn about. So that's my problem with the Ron DeSantis thing, and that's my problem with Black history in general. That 1 month is where Black children are taught what white people want them to be taught about Black history. So I have a major problem with it, and I have a major problem with the Ron DeSantis and the bill he's passing.
And if I may add something along that line to it, David, real quick, is because I really feel that we as Black Americans need to educate our own children about Black History Month. You know, I need to talk to my grandkids about Black History Month and the contributions that we have made to this country and to the world, because no one can tell it like we can. I got so much admiration for the Jewish nationality. They said if you're doomed to repeat it, if you forget it, you're doomed to repeat it. They never let the Holocaust die. They never let it die. They talk about it all the time, and they make sure you know about it. Well, we got to let people know about the contributions that black people have made to the United States of America and before then as well.
May I support some of that, gentlemen, in the fact a couple of you said, and I think even you did, Michael. Darius, I think, said it best. Black history should be American history. We should, at some point, as you said, Don, you can teach it. What better teacher in some regards than a black professor or a black teacher teaching black history? I agree with that. Now, you know, if they're the most talented and can present it in the best light. But it should at some point be mainstream. It's history. And there's so many wonderful, incredible things that were done by African-American blacks and others that invented all kinds of things that we barely hear about. And I don't totally agree with Michael saying that's being smothered and not being taught, because I think if any history is given in its true light and not politically slanted or politically put into an agenda where children of all races can see the value of that history, either from learning from bad or learning from good, it will be accepted. And I think Ron DeSantis is no different. We want history to be history, not slanted or tainted with politics.
Anyone else want to jump in on this conversation?
Yeah, if I may real quick, David, I hear you, Bruce, and in reference to what the guys were saying about the LGBTQ portion of this, that's what Ron DeSantis is using to say, hey, I'm vetoing this bill because you're teaching about LGBTQ issues. You're not just teaching about black history. Now, I don't know if that's true, and if it's true, then I agree with Ron DeSantis on that. But I do want to say this to my LGBTQ brothers and sisters who are listening. I always tell you guys that you're pushing too hard. And recently I saw where you guys were trying to ban Aretha Franklin's song, You Make Me Feel Like a Woman, trying to cancel that song because you're saying it's offensive to you.
Yeah.
So I do agree that the LGBT community, I say it all the time, you guys push a little too hard. Trying to ban Aretha Franklin, I think you guys are pushing it overboard with that. You're going to push a lot of black people to the Republican Party if you're trying to ban Aretha.
Yeah, don't ban Aretha.
All right. Any other comments about this subject matter? All right.
I'd like to say something.
Yes, please do.
Okay, so my opinion is what has been stated through a lot of people, like, you know, black history is American history and all forms of history. I mean, America is one of the most secular countries on the earth. Everyone here has been descended from somewhere else, whether it be Europe, whether it be Canada, England, the West Indies. There's so much history within America itself, and I think we should not have a Black History Month. I think that we should have an American History Month where we talk about how Catholics were discriminated when they came to America over the overwhelming Church of English Protestants, or how about literally the anniversary just came up, how 130 years ago the United States stole the Kingdom of Hawaii, and now the Native Hawaiians really can't even live to afford on their own land, how Mexicans in this country have been disproportionately been mistreated due to the Spanish-American War, and how we in fact stole a great deal of their land. I think it's a part of our history that we should talk about. And there is no Jewish History Month. There is no Muslim History Month. We only give a month specifically to black people, and there's so many more diverse cultures in this country. How about in World War II, when the president locked up a whole bunch of Japanese people simply for being Japanese? What about Japanese history? And we don't talk about that in this country.
All right. Anybody want to jump in on that? Darius, what are your thoughts?
I agree with what Sohail is saying. I just don't like the idea of using the word stole. You know, America was created just like any other country in the world. It's any country that exists now that has territories and boundaries wanted to either conquering a weaker nation or a weaker people. It's the way that's been all since the beginning of time, where one tribe has gone in and conquered another tribe and took over the land. So to say that, I can go with stolen, but a lot of times we act like America is the only country that ever went in and conquered a people. And that right there is a lack of what we're talking about now, American history, is a lack of American history being taught the correct way. And so I agree with a lot of what Sohail is saying. I just don't like to hear people talk about how, oh, America stole from the Native Americans. They stole from the Spanish. They stole. Every country in the world, there was somebody living there before they got there. So I just want us to be mindful of that.
All right. Anybody else thoughts on the subject?
I would just add that, and I think in the right way, in the proper way, the good, the bad, and the ugly parts of our history are all American history, and that's part of the fabric that's knitted together so we truly understand, as Darius said and others have said, how this country came to be. Sure, it has a lot of problems and it has a lot of faults, but so does almost every other country. And if you stack us up against a lot of other countries, we're more giving, more humane, more this, more that, in a lot of ways than many other countries. Again, we're not perfect, but I just wanted to add that.
Yeah, I want to add real quick to Noel's comment about everybody gets a month. I don't agree with that at all. The African-American experience is unique in the United States of America, far more unique than any other group of people, so well. African-Americans were the only ones who were held as slaves for 200 years in this country. We're the only ones that had laws, Jim Crow laws, laws that sanctioned us into second-class citizenship by the government. So no other group of people have experienced what African-Americans have experienced in this country. So I totally push back on everyone should have their own month because everyone's gone through something. No, that's not true. No one has gone through what African-Americans have gone through in this country, not even close.
Wait a minute. We had a double. Go ahead,
Soel.
What did you say?
I didn't say that everyone should have a month. I said that we should have an American History Month where we talk in depth of all the good and bad of American history. And, I mean, no one talks about the Hawaiian overthrow. I mean, it's a part of America, and yet we stole their culture, and we stole the very tenets of their principles of who they are.
All right.
I may add to that, Soel, they were compensated. Every other family was compensated except the black citizens. They served. They were slaves in this country. Land taken, et cetera, for 400 years. And then nationalities were given on the western part of the country, areas in which you currently live in, and help subsidize and taught how to be farmers, and then paid money not to farm. Yet African Americans and black people were told, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, and never given anything.
Not even boots.
So not even boots. Not even food. And then to add, to say that you're going to give us a mule and a piece of land that never happened, I'm still waiting on that. Say this.
Okay.
We have existed under unbelievable circumstances. I don't think the black race will ever destroy outwardly. it will destroy themselves from within. And we saw a picture of it on Friday.
You said they won't, Don, or they will? We will.
They will never destroy themselves outwardly because we've gone through so many different hurdles and came out victorious and won over the past 400 years. So I'm saying that the demise and the destruction of the black race will be from within.
If,
like we saw on Friday.
If at all.
Black
yeah.
people beating their own people.
And may I add something, Don, if you're done?
Yes.
Michael, also, as you mentioned about slavery, valid comments. But to truly understand whether you're a black person or any other color person, truly understand the initial roots, behavior, and heinousness, badness of slavery, it goes far beyond the shores of the United States of America and far before this country was ever created. So if we're going to understand truly the cruelty and the completeness of that horrible way of treating people, we need to know the full story. It didn't start in the United States, and I'm not saying that makes it good. I'm just saying it didn't start here. I would want to know a lot more than I know right now, and I would venture to say even a lot of my black brethren and friends don't know it either. And I would like that to happen so we can truly understand the roots of that evil and how it all came about if we want to study that.
All right. You're listening to The Man's Voice. And once again, call us 646-668-8740. We got about 10 minutes left in the show, but Spencer, is there anything that you would like to bring to the table? Spencer, the baby crying again?
Spencer's changing diapers.
He might, maybe he is.
He's making a bottle right now.
All right. You know, I've known that there are so many scams. I mean, on my phone, the number of scams that are going on is ridiculous, but Miami has a big problem, and I want to bring it up. I think it's something we should discuss. Federal authorities in Florida have discharged 25 people with participating in a wire fraud scheme that created an illegal shortcut for aspiring nurses to get licensed and find employment. Recently, an unsealed federal grand jury indictment said that the defendants took part in a scam that sold more than 7,600 fraudulent nursing degree diplomas from three Florida-based nursing schools. Federal officials said during a news conference in Miami recently, prosecutors said the scheme was involved transcripts from the nursing schools for people seeking licenses and jobs as registered nurses and licensed practical and vocational nurses. The defendants in this particular scam will face up to 20 years in prison, but with all the scams going around, I think they've gotten elaborate enough to now you don't know if the nurse that you see down in Miami right now is a real nurse based on this happening, but I think scams like this are going across the United States. Let's talk about that a little bit. What are your thoughts on that, Darius?
That's shocking, man. And I mean, I guess nothing shocks me anymore with everybody's always trying to find invent a new way to make money, man. And I don't really have a whole lot to say about that. It's just, the fact that you could play with something as serious as nursing, when you have people's lives at stake, man, that's, you know, I want to use one of Don's, favorite lines and he's right on when he says it all the time. And, you know, we have a heart condition in this country, and we don't care about who we hurt or who is in danger, you know, as long as it means us getting ahead. And that's something that we have to really, really pray about.
Yes.
I'd like to respond to what Darius just said, David. And Darius, you said it so eloquently. I happen to know quite a few nurses in the state of Florida that are talking about that right now, David. It stemmed from the pandemic when there were a lot of shortages of nursing and healthcare workers. We had schools open up, and to get the money, they were paying people $80,000 to do nursing and give them nursing degrees, shortcuts, and the hospitals were hiring them. It stemmed from the pandemic, and that's what's happening. My question is, what has happened to America and our way of living over the past 3 to 4 years where stopping a person for a traffic ticket or disagreeing with a person can go from dislike to automatically killing them? The arrest.
We live in,
and
we live in a godless society.
People has gone sky high over the past 3 years. What happened to the anger that can go from anger to I'm killing you that quick?
Wow. Bruce, what are your comments?
Oh, I'm glad you asked me because I was just about ready to open my mouth. Don, yeah, that is a huge question. And I think one of the major components, only one, there's many, but one of the major components, the very issuing and the culture of becoming IT, where we depend on all of our connections through machinery instead of human contact, has desensitized us in so many ways we don't even realize. You all know, not even nowadays, when you have human contact with someone other than a confrontation, you feel good about that. You converse with people. I mentored somebody last night for an hour and a half. It filled me up. It was incredible. We are not taking human contact serious enough, and we're divorcing ourselves and isolating ourselves so much that we don't have the empathy that we once had or should have now, or combination of both. So I wanted to add that as an important factor. The very thing that was supposed to connect us more has isolated us more.
All right, Sewell, what are your thoughts?
Okay, I kind of got lost. What were you talking about real quick?
Well, we'll come back to you. Let's come back. Michael, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I kind of got lost too. Come back to me.
Hey, David, I think everybody's watching the NFL playoffs, man.
Yeah, focus, gentlemen. Focus.
All right. Spencer.
I think it's sports time anyways.
Yeah. Well, Jeremiah, what are your thoughts? Let me try this. Jeremiah, what are your thoughts on the subject?
Like I said, I think it's sports time. Now, gentlemen, let's speak about sports.
Well, yeah. So Spencer, are you there? Okay, go ahead, Jeremiah. Go ahead.
I was going to say, let's see. I don't know the active score with I don't know if the game is over. It might be over by now with San Fran and the Eagles. So the Eagles took that one, guys?
31-7. They mopped the floor with them, yes. The Eagles won.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, the 49ers looked terrible.
I know. It's so embarrassing. My California team lost.
Yeah.
I think the losing the starting quarterback hurt them a little bit.
Yeah. And what were they on there? Fifth quarterback?
Yeah. Fourth-string quarterback, man. So, I mean, yeah.
It was a blessing for them to be here in the playoffs. You guys, San Fran. And how's the other game looking with KC.
It just started at 0-0. It's just starting out, but Mahomes just drove it all the way down the field. Looks like he's going to score.
Wow. This is going to be interesting, you know. It was more of defense against defense, and then now this game is pretty much offense against offense.
Yep, pretty much.
All right. You're listening to The Man's Voice, and once again, you can call in and join the conversation by bringing subject to the table or commenting on some of the comments that have been made tonight by calling 646-668-8740. All right. Anybody want anything else anybody would like to bring to the table? Well, let me try one more thing. Spencer, are you there? I see you there, but you're not saying anything. Are you muted? I guess. He's babysitting, I guess.
Hey, David, can I say something that may be anecdotal to what happened with this police beating?
Sure.
Okay. So I had a situation, guys, actually two situations, and this is what makes me kind of refute the race case. This was up in the North Georgia mountains. I got pulled over because one of my lights were out. And once they pulled me over, they ran my driver's license and found out that I had a court date that I had missed for a citation. Totally forgot about it. So, and they were both white officers. He asked me to step out of the car. I stepped out of the car. He said, "We don't want to take you in for this. It's just a citation. Let me see if I can call it in and if they will just give you another court date and give you time to go pay it." And I thought that was very kind of them because they didn't have to do it. They had a warrant. They had every reason to arrest me, put me in cuffs, and haul me away. But they didn't. So while they called, it was kind of cold outside, and he said, "Look, I'm sorry it's taking them so long to reply. It's kind of cold out here. If you want, I can let you sit in the you know, patrol car, and I'll turn the heat on for you." That's how these guys were. Then when it found out, they said, "Well, you can pay the ticket tonight, but we got to take you down to the jailhouse. You can pay it there, and we'll let you go. Your vehicle is right here, and we don't want to tow it. Do you have someone come pick it up?" I'm like, "I'm almost an hour away from home. My wife is here." They're like, "No problem. We'll have someone stay here and wait by your truck until your wife drives an hour away and pick it up so you don't have to get towed." So I'm just saying that to say, and once I got there, they were very, very nice, very professional. I got down there, I paid the ticket, and I went home within a couple hours. Never got locked up, any of that stuff. But my whole point is there are situations where I think that's probably the majority of the time. What we see and what gets exploited is the bad police officers. We had a case here where these white guys that didn't know me, black guy alone up in the country, and they took upon themselves to maintain their professional and go out of their way to take care of me. Similar incident happened with my son, who's 23 as well. Very professional, very courteous, no issues at all.
Do you think attitude, Darius?
You're making the argument it's not the apple. It's not one bad apple, and I'm making the argument it's the whole tree that's rotten. Yeah, you got lucky on that one, but I guarantee you there's thousands of scenarios where guys didn't get as lucky as you.
Well, my son got pretty much caught with weed in the car.
Weed.
And they let him go. They searched him.
Darius.
They chastised him. They gave him a ticket. They were very courteous. They said, "Thank you, sir. Have a good evening. Drive safely." It was no incidents at all.
Darius.
Same thing. Two white police officers.
One addition I would like to ask you is, what city or town or county is this in? Because let's remember, if it's in the suburbish area, the suburbs handle things different than a quote-unquote impoverished urban or poor community. For sure,
where
this happened.
I know
we're about 10. Go ahead, David. Sorry.
I'm sorry. If we have to leave, we'll be back again next week. We appreciate you listening to us. I mean, several people are in, but nobody wants to talk to us. So next week, come back and call us in. All right, guys. Have a great week.
Call and talk to us.
Yeah.
God bless, guys. Have a good week. Have a good week. Be safe.
God bless, guys. Take care.
It's all about the you, baby. We coming back really short. Be back.